turn our Bibles to Isaiah, and I just want to read a couple verses out of, Isaiah 7, the 14th verse. You don't really have to turn to these right now if you don't care to, but you also can. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Think of here of what God did put in the mouth of Isaiah to speak. And so clearly it brings it out. And then the 9th chapter here, the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All, who is this? This is that Jesus, who God sent down. Now to the 12th chapter here, and I'd like to speak on the wells of salvation, and how God is the only one that can draw us to that. Think of it. We are sinners, and only sinners saved by grace. Now the 12th chapter here, the 2nd verse. Now this 12th chapter here is a song or a praise unto God of these verses that we read before here. And you can see so plainly here how God is in all things. And behold, God, the 2nd verse, the 12th chapter, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah, stopping there at Jehovah. What do they mean by Jehovah? The everlasting God? Have no other gods before me? The triune God, the sovereign God, everything is in this word, in Jehovah. Such a beautiful thing here, how it was all brought out, and how God gave Isaiah, the great prophet, to print these words and speak these words. Jehovah is my strength, my song. He has also become my salvation. Now here is the verse that I'd like to speak mostly on this morning. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. What is a well? I know we are all familiar with wells. The large cities are concerned with the water. And so, but the deep wells, in our area, up there in Wisconsin, we can get usually drill, and you'll have water about at from 100 to 125 feet. And that's what they call in the first rock. And then you may go to some place where you drill down, and you have to go 300 feet down. And that's Lake Superior's water. Think of that, how all these veins are in the underneath. And when you read about New York City and Chicago, how they, all them water supplies go through these large cities, and how it's all filtered now, and every, but how essential water is. And it was already in this time. Isn't that a beautiful, really thing? And that's the wells, that verse again, therefore shall joy be drawn water out of the wells of salvation. Where does the word salvation come from? Christ, the Savior. Think of it. That wells of salvation. You know, it looks very dark in this country of ours when you think how the great debt we all, this country, went into, and how China is really owning us about 3/4, if you read it all through, in a debt. Just think of that. But God is still overall. But also think, too, how this country of ours, in the last 20, 30, 40 years back, and even before, how we have gone to the things of Satan. It is so sad how we've followed the things of the world. That's from New York City straight to Los Angeles, clean across this country. It is so convenient to get to the, and I'm going to bring that in a little bit later on. But here you can see how God is still over all that with this wells of salvation. Now let's go to Jeremiah 2:13. I'm not going to be in this very long. 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me and the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. There it shows with Manda. Who was this? What we just read in Isaiah there. And here Jeremiah brings this out so clearly here. Have two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out. Cisterns. What is hewed out? Man-made. Remember, man-made, usually cisterns. Broken cisterns, meaning cisterns that will not hold water. That's how sinful man is. For my people had committed these two evils. I think you can see that so plainly in this United States of ours, how all these evils are taking place so much. And then let's go to Zechariah, the 13th chapter, and the first verse. Why I'm going to these three here in the Old Testament, to just see how God give these prophets the same words of bringing out these fountains of salvation only in Christ. How that was spoken of when Isaiah could write, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Okay, the 13th chapter and the first verse. And in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanliness. And in that day a fountain open to the house of David. Here you can just see through this all how God is shown and promised this be opened to the house of David and to his inhabitants. Who were they? They were of the tribes of Israel here, and how Jesus is spoken of to come out of the house of David. Okay, now let's go to John, the 4th chapter. The book of John I'm referring to here. The 6th chapter, rather. First. And the 44th verse. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Isn't that a shows up? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. What is it to draw? Is anything done without being drawn? No. Who draws it? Boys and girls, probably you have had little wagons already. I know I had little wagons, and the handle is on it, and that wagon does not move unless it is drawn. Think of that. It needs to be drawn. Then you can give someone else a ride. You can do other things with it. But it has to be drawn with that. What is water in a well? You know, you've seen a lot of pictures. Well, in the state of Wisconsin, we have, or right next to Milwaukee there, not far, just west of Milwaukee, we have a place where they call Old Wisconsin. And a few years back, Joyce and I took the grandchildren down there, four of them. The fifth one was too young yet, but they had never seen a well or water come out with a pump. And I said to them, "Want to use pump on here? Take it up and down." And then we tried to get some paper cups, and we did find some. And then they came, and one would pump, and the other would catch the water. Well, they had kind of wet feet and everything the time they got done with it, but still they seen what that water was. I think Samantha knows it. He probably remembers it yet today. It was one of the biggest drawing points of that whole thing, that whole day that we took them kids there. But to think of, to draw that water up, and it was done with a suction. Think of that. What is this 44th verse say here? "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Here Jesus is speaking, "has sent me, and I will raise them up the last day." Isn't that a comfort, people? Think of that. That's a comfort. This verse here. But what does it all show us? It's all grace, isn't it? It's all the love of God. Think of that. It is just beautiful. Now let's turn back to the fourth chapter here. And I know you're familiar with this chapter. And it brings it out, I think, very clearly here of this being drawn. And we can see here how Jesus is a providential God and how he seeks his own. Starting here with the third verse of the chapter 4, "He left Judea and parted again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Think of that verse. These, just these few words here. "And he must needs go through Samaria." Why did he have to do that? His disciples were with him. We'll see this in this chapter very shortly. Here it shows how God is a providential God right here in that. He must needs go to meet this the woman at the well. Think of that. Think of with the disciples, with who was it now? Philip and Nathaniel. Nathaniel said, "How can anyone come out of that certain area?" And then when God did, he said, "How did you see me? I seen you under the fig tree." Think of that. God knows all things ahead. You read again, I think it's in Matthew. He knows our prayers before we even ask him. Think of such an almighty God. It is. Sometimes our minds can't even quite come to that. But it is most beautiful things. "But needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which was called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob hath gave to his son Joseph." Think of that, how this lady, or that's where Jesus come to. What is this certain area here? Remember, you go right back, I'm not going back into Genesis, time wouldn't commit all that, but and then go to Jacob on his deathbed, gave this to Joseph. Then, another thing, Joshua, the last part of Joshua, the last chapter, I mean, Joshua speaks of, and Jacob, what did he request? Not to be buried in there, in Egypt. And his bones were buried right here also. Think of that. So many years later. Just how God provides in his great providence all things. And that's all right here that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. We know all the story there of Joseph and all that, but it is just shows how this scripture is here, and the Bible just brings everything out. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus at the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or about the noonday, because their morning started at six. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me drink. This wasn't all by chance, was it? By needs be, he had to be go here. Here you can see how God works in a providential way. So often we're so, I'm one with not a lot of, I like things done. And then sometimes I think I'm too slow at it and it don't get done yet. But I always, it comes to the part where you just have to be patient with it. Pray for God for patience too. It's something that is so very hard to have is patience. I can see that with what we just, with Galvin selling the farm over there, and how we prayed for that all, that all things would work out there, and it did, and how everything is in God's hand. And we just have no patience with it. But who is it that so often we let boss in our lives? It's Satan. Satan can hinder all that. He tried that. He did that. He lied first already to Eve. We can just see how Satan is ever there. And so many times we heed unto the devil. Think of it. Just think of it. Then cometh the woman to Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Here you can see, she says really everything, and that they first, for his disciples had gone away unto the city to buy meat. That had to be also at that time. The disciple, Jesus was there alone with that woman at the well. And then this next verse, then saith the woman unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? They had no dealings with the Samaritans. Think of that. The Samaritans were nothing to them. But Jesus walked through Samaria here to get to this well. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Then Jesus, the 10th verse, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Isn't there a lot in that verse right here? This verse, knewest the gift of God. What is a gift? Something you didn't pay for? It's grace. It's all grace. Anytime any of us here have any experience of things, it's only of grace. Think of it. It isn't of what he did. Not at all. A gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, and wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Where was that living water of these fountains? Way back there, the promise in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, all these things. It's the most beautiful thing to see how God supplies all things. 11th verse. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And whence then hast thou that living water? What was she thinking here? She was thinking of that water just down in the well. Think of it. Would you and I have thought any different? I don't think so. I know so. You can just see how our humanness goes through that all. How our eyes aren't open to it. And hers weren't yet at this time. I know I've had experiences in life already that I didn't just see the things right. It's a sad thing, but it's a wonderful thing. I mean, it's when Jesus opens your eyes to it to see it. The correctness and the sinfulness of different things. Nothing to draw with. He didn't have that bucket. She was thinking all these earthly things had to come in it. Think of that. Then, the 13th verse, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Very truly. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Think of that verse right here. That I shall give him, not something that she earned, in any way, or that you and I have ever earned. But the water that I give him shall be to him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Just think, everlasting life. Here on this earth, there is a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's going to be an end. And when you get older and your hair gets more silver, you think more of it. You really do. When you're young, you're always thinking on it. But when you start to get older, you start to think a little, there's an end. When all your friends, and like when I see these young children sitting here, and how memory comes back to you when you're even... My grandpa used to say to me, I can remember the days of my youth. I thought, how in the world can an old man think of that? Remember that all. But all God gives you those memories. He brings those memories back. And then this last spring, within 3 weeks, there was 6 of us in country school, all first graders, and within that time, in the last spring, or in April it was, when we were just back from Arizona, he picked up the newspaper. One of my classmates that I had been in the school with passed away. Within a month, 3 of them passed away. It really makes you think how time there's an end to. Is ever springing up into everlasting life. Oh, what a beautiful picture here. That living water that Christ can only give. The woman said, 15th verse, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Here you can see how what she says. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. Hear how she had to be brought down here. But another thing, God was giving her the honesty here in the next verses. Think of that also. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, for he whom thou who now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. She was honest here. Here you can see how when God touches you, how you can come to bow down before Him, to be humble. All this is just showing here what this lady had to go through. She wanted this living water. Then Jesus tells her all this, but we'll find out in a few minutes about more about that. What is this 19th verse? The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Here it shows what scriptural training will do. Right here. The blind man. Jesus anointed or took the clay and put that upon his eyes. What did, when they asked him who did it? Oh, he must be a prophet. He knew something of Scripture. See that? That's why it's such an important thing for young people, or for young parents, put it, just parents, to tell their children those things of Scripture and bring it when they ask questions even about it, that you're prepared to answer it because, oh, that means so much to a young child. The 20th verse. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Here you can tell she knew some of the Scriptures. The Jews said you can only worship in Jerusalem. And what did the Samaritans do? They had the first five books of the Bible. And that was is what they had. And they went to the mount to worship. And that also, if you read a lot of that history on the Samaritans, which is very interesting, and you see how that they didn't all go through. But here you can see, by this woman coming to the well, God drew her through that. Oh, it's such a beautiful picture in this chapter coming. Then, the 21st verse. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain or yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. The time was changing. Why? It was the Messiah was born. This was the Jesus, the Savior of the world. This was all done before that veil was rent in twain. Here you can see how that's all being worked out here. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, just see what Jesus is stating here, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What is the Spirit? God. Who is the truth? Christ. Oh, that's so beautifully put here. And if you, I think it's Ephesians 6, where Paul writes, Jesus, the truth is in Jesus. Think of that. It's all in Jesus. And she did not yet, at this time, realize who this true Messiah was yet. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Here you could tell she didn't know Scripture. What an important part for each and every one of us to know the Scripture. This I don't think we can thank God enough that we have yet the whole Bible. that it is not taken away by the evil forces and from Satan. So many times I'll never forget, when I was in my 30s, in the 30s and 40s when communism was so strong, when everybody was preaching that we would lose their scripture and everything, which they did in Russia and other parts of the world. But God overruled that. I knew of a fellow that, and I was a very close friend of him. He wrote a book on it, even on the communism. And the other day I was going through the drawer and I seen that. And I thought, if Albert only knew what today is. And he was a very intelligent person, knew the scriptures, but how he thought that communism was going to be, and Nazi, and probably it won't someday, or anything of the sort. But it sure, that wall in Berlin and everything came down. That 25th verse, and he will tell us all things. 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. When Jesus makes himself personal to each and every one of us, we have to pray for that, that he'll give us that. It's just that I am he, that we don't depend on these broken cisterns, wells that do not hold water. Think of it. It's that he puts that I am he in us. Oh, it's such a beautiful life. Speak unto thee am he. That blind man too. Everybody was going against him in there. But Jesus found him in the end and took care of him. Oh, it just shows he never forsakes his own. 27th verse, then upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? First of all, what did you see here? Left the water pot. You never heard that she even drew water, did you? No, you didn't. It was brought. God supplies us with that. We have no other needs. Think of it. He gives us that fountains of living water. Oh, what a beautiful picture that is to us. And that to think that God sent his Son. We know the crucifixion. We know I'm not going to go into all that. But we can just see the great and merciful God, that sovereign God that God is, that what he can do. What did this woman do? Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Here you can see what she, come see a man that told me all things. We know we come to that too. A true sinner can come to that, that you see everything put before you, really what you've sinned and things. But then, I'm not going to go through this 30 because that's really a sermon in itself. Now the 39th verse. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode 2 days. Think of that. He abode with them. The men of the city, everything. She, so many times in the churches that I went to when I was young, that was the missionary way of putting it. They would put, we have to send missionaries out and all that. And it is very true. But she told them what to do, and they came. And Jesus stayed with them 2 days. Now that was really a beautiful picture here, to see the passion, the mercifulness, and all that. Many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What a beautiful picture here. But you can see here, now we believe. God opened the hearts, the eyes of these people. It was all in him. She had, you might say, to be that token. Had to start off the things. But what did she do? When Jesus said to her, I am he. She dropped her water pot. Immediately, you could tell there was a change in her. She, what was it? That living water that Isaiah spoke of, Jeremiah spoke of, all that. What a beautiful picture that is when God works that in you. And you go to, I'm not going to go into a time sake right now, 2 Peter 2:17. And Peter speaks of the people there. Well, I think I... when people go after... just turn to it. I got 2 Peter 15, I'll stay with. Which have forsaken the right way. Now, we know what the... There were all that went against God, rails... self-willedness, all these different, speak evil, all this. Now the 15th verse. Which have spoken the right way, and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, as the dumb ass speaketh, with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And then this next 17th verse. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried without a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. What is that midst of darkness is reserved forever? For the ones, the unjust. Think of that. What is that? What's hell? Darkness. Satan, who followed after the things of Satan. Oh, pray that you never fall into these sins. And through that all, that God is the only one of living the wells of water. How Peter seen this again too, right here in writing this. But remember, it's only through the grace of God that we are what we are, each and every one of us. Oh, what a beautiful thing. Let us look to God in prayer. Almighty God, we come unto Thee in the noon hour of this and Thy day. We thank Thee again for the Scriptures, and through it all that we may ever realize that it's all of Thee and nothing of self, and that we are only sinners and sinners saved by grace. We pray that we may not heed to the things of the world, and that Thou will keep us from it, realizing how we are so prone. We pray that Thou will give us a spiritual guidance and an understanding of Thy truths, and through it all, that we may have that personalness, I am He. We ask this now with the forgiveness of sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.